Good morning. It's Thursday, February 5th. I'm Lou Ann Stevens, and this is Wichita's Early Edition from KMUW News. Coming up, we look at a small-town paper with a rich history that's also focused on the future. That's after the news. Opponents of a proposed sales tax say an ad by the nonprofit group behind the tax violates city policies. The Wichita Forward commercial includes shots of a Wichita fire station and firefighter. The firefighter is wearing a union shirt and encourages residents to vote yes on the tax on March 3rd. Ted Bush heads the union.
We have First Amendment rights, too, to advocate for ourselves. And we did that as a union, and we're going to continue to do that as a union. And it's just sad that over a penny per dollar sales tax, that they want to ruin a kid's life.
The city policy, called out by opponents, prohibits the use of city property in political activities. Employees found violating the policy can be disciplined or fired. Bush says the union cleared his participation in the ad with the fire chief. Parents would have to affirm their children are potty trained before they start kindergarten under a bill proposed in Kansas. The bill would require students to be potty trained well enough that they do not have frequent accidents that disrupt class. It exempts children in special education. Supporters say the measure would help teachers spend less instruction time dealing with hygiene emergencies. But critics say it could prevent students from getting their education. Leah Fleiter is with the Kansas Association of School Boards.
The more kids we have held out of kindergarten for toileting issues, the more kids we have at a risk of not getting to where we want them to be in our literacy efforts.
Lawmakers from both parties seem skeptical of the bill, with at least one Republican saying the issue should be left up to local school boards. Wichita school board members voted this week to finalize the closure of the Chester Lewis Academic Learning Center in northeast Wichita. We get more from KMUW's Daniel Cottle.
The district closed Chester Lewis in December after finding unsafe conditions in the 75-year-old building, which was housing the district's alternative high school program. Students in that program are now attending class at the former Cleveland Elementary School building in southwest Wichita. Some community members have asked the district to reuse Chester Lewis's name for a future project in the surrounding neighborhood. The district says the alternative program is still named after Lewis, and it's open to using the name again. For KMUW News, I'm Daniel Cottle.
Another Kansas school district has canceled classes because so many students and staff members are sick. The Attica District in Harper County canceled school Tuesday and Wednesday this week. It's at least the third Kansas district to cancel classes due to illness over the past 2 months. The Fairfield School District west of Hutchinson closed temporarily last month to disinfect classrooms. The Dexter School District near Winfield canceled classes for several days in December. Kansas Attorney General Chris Kobach wants lawmakers to force state agencies to give the federal government personal information about food assistance recipients. As Dylan Lyson of the Kansas News Service reports, a Senate committee is considering a bill that mandates sharing the information.
Federal officials have requested the personal information of food assistance recipients, including Social Security numbers and birth dates. Democratic Governor Laura Kelly's administration is withholding the Kansas data over privacy concerns. Kobach told lawmakers that the request is meant to help weed out fraud in the program.
By doing so, you can determine if somebody's getting it who's not entitled to be getting these benefits. Pretty simple request.
Critics say the bill will erode trust in the food program, and it may scare away eligible Kansans seeking help. For the Kansas News Service, I'm Dylan Lyson in Overland Park.
Kansas Governor Laura Kelly and other Democratic leaders are urging lawmakers to raise the minimum wage in Kansas to $15 an hour. The announcement follows plans by Republican leaders to eliminate taxes on tips in the state. Senate Minority Leader Dinah Sykes and House Minority Leader Brandon Woodard were included in a joint statement from the governor's office. The Democrat proposal would more than double the state's current minimum wage, which is $7.25 an hour. The minimum wage in Missouri is $13.75 an hour. Pizza Hut is closing hundreds of locations across the United States because of declining sales. Yum! Brands is the parent company of Pizza Hut, Taco Bell, and KFC. The company said in an earnings call yesterday that it will close 250 Pizza Hut restaurants in the first half of this year. That amounts to about 3% of the chain's locations nationwide. A list of locations was not released. Pizza Hut was founded in Wichita in 1958 by brothers Dan and Frank Carney. They sold the company to PepsiCo in 1977. Topeka native Dan Connaughton has been named to this year's Winter Paralympic team for the fourth time. Greg Eklund has more.
Dan Connaughton, now 45, is already an Olympic medalist. He has 2 golds, 4 silvers, and 1 bronze in the biathlon, which is a combination of skiing in a sitting position and target shooting. This year, he's on the U.S. Paralympic team once again, but this time, his only event is Nordic skiing. Think cross-country instead of downhill. Connaughton turned to Paralympic competition after losing both of his legs while on military duty in Afghanistan. The Paralympic Winter Games in Italy run from March 6th through March 15th. I'm Greg Eklund.
A watch party at the Cosmosphere in Hutchinson has been postponed after NASA delayed its mission to send 4 astronauts on a journey around the moon. The Cosmosphere had been planning a watch party to coincide with the launch of NASA's Artemis II mission. It will be the first manned flight around the moon in more than 50 years. NASA now says the mission should launch sometime in March or April, depending on conditions. Information about the Cosmosphere event and updates on the mission can be found at cosmo.org. We'll be back after this.
Support for KMEW comes from Fidelity Bank with Business 360, banking and lending for small businesses ready to grow. Online at fidelitybank.com.
This is Wichita's Early Edition. I'm Lou Ann Stevens. Council Grove, Kansas is a small town with a rich history and a unique distinction. With a population of about 2,200, it's the smallest town in the United States with a daily newspaper, the Council Grove Republican. The Republican still publishes every Monday through Thursday, filling its pages with local news and satisfying hundreds of loyal subscribers. We get more from KPR's Matthew Algio.
The Council Grove Republican occupies a small storefront on Main Street, sandwiched between a chiropractor and a real estate agent. Jan Siaka owns the Republican. She's also the paper's reporter, photographer, and sales manager. Jan grew up in Council Grove, but moved away when she was 17. When she heard the paper was for sale in 2021, she came back and bought it.
I love this paper. I grew up with it. It was a daily. It's a staple of a small town. And I knew who might possibly buy it. And neither one of those parties was from Council Grove. And so somebody had to do something.
Okay. So where are we going now?
We're going to City Hall.
Jan spends much of the day in her Nissan Altima, darting from one event to another, like the swearing-in of new city council members.
All right, if you all please raise your right hand and repeat after me. I do solemnly swear.
I do solemnly swear.
Or I do solemnly.
This is the kind of story the Council Grove Republican covers and has been covering since 1872. Local politics, local sports, community events, the mundane and the important. An example of the latter, last fall's mayor's race between the city council president and a local businessman.
It turned out to be a tie, and then the businessman ordered a recount, and there they found a ballot that the intent was to vote for him, so he ended up winning by 1 vote.
And who would have covered that story if not for the Republican?
It would just be whatever people had on social media, and we know that there's so much fake news on social media. I don't know how that would have been reported.
The Republican stopped using its own printing press decades ago, and today the paper is printed in Manhattan, about 40 miles away. There aren't many printers left who can handle newspaper jobs, and Jan worries what would happen if the one in Manhattan ever closes.
When I bought the paper in 2021, there were about 5 printers that we could use, and we were using Osage Graphics out of Burlingame, which is about 45 minutes away. They closed their doors last summer, so we had to find another source. So when I looked at those five, they were all gone. The only one within driving distance to be able to get the paper here conveniently every day was Seton Publishing in Manhattan. It's worrisome.
Jan's two full-time employees are Christy Jimerson and Kay Roberts. Christy is the circulation manager, handles the billing, and lays out the paper. Kay helps with reporting and types up the material readers contribute. Sports results, honor rolls, obituaries. Christy and Kay have worked at the paper a combined 85 years. An old printer spits out the mailing labels for each day's paper. About half the Republican's 800 or so subscribers get their copy through the mail. The other half get the paper the old-fashioned way, from paper boys and paper girls. The Republican is one of the last papers in Kansas to use kids as carriers. They earn about $100 a month. One of the carriers is 14-year-old Gwen Eaton, who says she likes the job.
I think it's just helped people to get their newspapers, and it just feels good going out.
How long have you been doing it?
Like a month or two, I don't know.
How long do you plan to do it?
Probably the end of summer.
Not for like 10 years?
I don't know. No, that's way too long for me.
A single issue of the Republican costs 75 cents. Local subscribers pay $11 a month. Council Grove is lucky to still have a newspaper, much less a daily. Tim Franklin studies local news at Northwestern University's Medill School of Journalism. He says almost 40% of all local newspapers in the U.S. have gone out of business since 2005.
For decades, the business model for local news was based on advertising revenue supporting local journalism. And advertisers have moved to social media platforms, to YouTube, to other platforms, and that has left local news organizations without the fundamental base of financial support that they need.
The Republican has a loyal base of advertisers. The paper also gets revenue from printing legal notices for local governments, as well as from subscribers. But Jan Siaka says costs are always a concern.
We spend about $2,500 a month in postage and about $3,000 a month in printing. We have a few hundred e-edition subscribers, but most of our subscribers are hard copy.
While most papers its size long ago went weekly or exclusively online, the Republican is still a daily, published Monday through Thursday. And Jan says she wouldn't have it any other way.
This community would lose so much if we were not a daily. The two things that stand out the most to me would be sports. We cover a lot of high school and junior high sports, and we couldn't be relevant. The games would just come so fast and furious, we wouldn't be able to report them. And then one thing I think the community doesn't think about is we publish obituaries 4 days a week, so people have time to get to the service.
After a quick dinner at home, Jan is back in her Nissan, headed out to cover a school board meeting.
All right, we're at 6 o'clock. We'll go ahead and call the regular January 2026.
The board is proposing a $31.5 million bond to build new schools, a huge expense for a small town like Council Grove. It's the kind of story that only the Republican will cover. Jan Siaka says she'd like to find someone to take over the paper when she finally retires. Until then, she'll keep working.
I do this because I think Council Grove is unique, and the Council Grove Republican's unique, and I just want to keep this as part of the community as long as possible.
After the school board meeting, Jan will go home, and like most nights, she'll stay up late writing stories for the next day's edition of the Council Grove Republican, keeping alive one of American media's most endangered species, the small-town daily newspaper. I'm Matthew Algio.
Thanks for joining us for Wichita's Early Edition. We'll be back again tomorrow. For KMUW News, I'm Lou Ann Stevens.
Wichita's Early Edition is part of the NPR Podcast Network.
Tomorrow on the Range, a new chapter for Reading Rainbow.
Butterfly in the sky, I can go twice as high. Take a look, it's in a book, a reading rainbow.
Plus, a smudging artist. So join us on the range, where we share stories about where we live and the people who live here.
I can go anywhere. Friends to know and ways.
Maybe you already know about naked short selling. Maybe you've personally shorted stocks yourself. But do you know about the time short sellers ruined a Super Bowl, basically?
For me, I was a little late, but red flags went up like, what is going on? This is really scary.
At Planet Money, we get the story behind the money to explain how money works. Listen on the NPR app or wherever you get your podcasts.